It's Thursday, the 12th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to George Carl. To the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Loot Crate and Tarantula 89. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast and be like Tarantula 89, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become that sponsor. It is straightforward. Thank you, Tarantula. Thank you for sponsoring today's show, and thank you to the fine people at Loot Crate as well for being a sponsor of today's show. If you are watching this show live, which you can do with every episode of the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, and you want to participate, you want to chime in, you want to offer some questions, opinions, thoughts, criticisms, critiques, whatever, the Twitter handle is at @redrock_bball. It is very straightforward to do that. Use Twitter, tweet at me, we can talk about it on the show. If you happen to be watching live. If you're not watching live, you can tweet at me for whatever you want to talk about. And someone tweeted at me today, a new listener to the podcast, so a big shout out to them. I'm not going to say their name, because they just took down $27,000 in a DFS contest over the last couple of days. So that is a massive, massive return. And that's, I think, the second person in about the last week who's taken down five-digit returns out of some DFS tournaments. So congratulations to you, new listener, who took it, who home that big amount of cash. So congratulations. Again, I can't say that enough, because that's it's a lot of money. I wouldn't mind winning $27,000 from a DFS contest myself. We've got basketball to talk about. We've got series that have ended. We have got two series left in the semifinals. We've got conference finals to look ahead to. We've got DFS to preview. What we're going to do in this one, we're going to look at Wednesday's games from a review point of view, and then we're going to preview Thursday, Friday, the two game sixes, and that could very well be the end of NBA DFS for this season. There won't be NBA DFS, from what I understand, running through into the conference finals. Doesn't mean the podcast is going away, though, so make sure you're still subscribing, make sure you're still listening, because as soon as that ends, we're going to head into our season in review series of shows, 30 shows, 30 teams, just going through each team, talking about what happened, what went wrong, who has room for growth, who's going to drop off, free agents, all that sort of stuff. We're going to do 30 shows, 30 seasons in review, and they will start once the DFS season ends, which could very well be on Friday. So
let's get to it.
Michael, I sure will. The monstrous line of the night for Wednesday was Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors. Lowry had a real bounce back game, and the Raptors take a pretty handy 3-2 lead heading into game six. He played 41 minutes. He scored 53 points on FanDuel. He went 25-10. He had four triples, six assists, three steals, one block. Still inefficient, 9 of 25, but in terms of bulk stats for fantasy, he got it done there. He was 3 of 4 from the line, only had one turnover, and he was the best performance on Wednesday. Lowry was a little bit of a ballsy guy to use. I definitely didn't recommend him as someone that I would be going after and using, but it did pan out using him. His numbers were pretty good, but it's a tough one to try and predict with how poorly he's played through most of the playoffs. But that's a big performance from Lowry, and Toronto, I don't think they've got a chance against Cleveland, but if they're going to have any chance, he has to get back to regular season form. DeMar DeRozan's thumb has to heal, and his ankle, obviously, which he had an issue with today. And that this Raptors Heat series, guys are just going down left, right, and center, and it's going to be pretty ugly against Cleveland. There's a chance that Cleveland goes through again untouched into the finals, because who they play? The Heat without Whiteside, maybe Deng's not there. They play the Raptors maybe without Valanciunas, maybe without Damari Carroll, maybe with a busted up DeMar DeRozan. It's not looking good for whoever goes through to play the Cavs at this point. The DFS value play of the day, we head to the gallant Portland Trailblazers, and Alan Crabb, who was at $4,000, turned in one of the better games of his career. He was red hot from the field, shooting 7 of 9. He got 26.6 FanDuel points, which at $4,000 is over 6.5x value. He had 20 points, 5 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. So much of what Crabb does depends on if his shot falls, for standard fantasy and for DFS, because look, he had a great night. The shot fell, 7 of 9, 5 triples, 20 points, but he does nothing else. The 2 steals are nice, but they're not predictable. No assists, 3 rebounds, no blocks. This is who Alan Crabb is. He will have hot nights, and he'll have nights where the shot doesn't fall, and he doesn't produce much. So yeah, he's always an interesting punt option. The minutes were going to be there. He's played 30 minutes pretty much every game of this series. But that sort of production is not something that is all that predictable. On the flip side, the DFS dud of the night, Luol Deng, who we touched on earlier, had to leave the game with a wrist issue. He's going to get an MRI on this wrist. He thinks that he'll be right to play in Game 6, depending on what the MRI shows. He said if it's nothing serious, he'll be out there. But he disappointed you if you had him into a lineup, which I don't think it was the best idea to have him in a lineup to begin with. But if you did, didn't work out. 11.2 points at $6,300. He played 24 minutes, so it's not like he missed. It's not like he was out in the first 5 minutes. Like, he played a big chunk of minutes. He missed all eight of his shots. He had 4 points, six rebounds. He had a steal, and he hit all four of his free throws. But not a good night for Luol Deng, and he has struggled to even crack 30 points over the last five or six games. And at that price tag, he needs to be getting over 30. And unfortunately, that's just not what he's been doing. Let's have a look at the perfect lineup for the three-game slate, the Tuesday-Wednesday slate, because I didn't do a show after Tuesday's games, obviously, with that Thunder getting that massive victory to take a 3-2 lead. At point guard, it was Russ Westbrook going 57.7, a big game from him, and Lowry had 53. The shooting guards, Dan Green went for 31.1, and CJ McCollum had 45.1. Small forwards, Kawhi at 48.2, that was a big performance from Kawhi, and Joey Johnson went for 22.1. Al-Farouq Aminu continues to play really well, 33.8 for Aminu, and Ed Davis chimed in with 22.4. And at center, Steve Adams had 27.7, and that lineup would have got you 341.1 points. Let's go through these box scores. But before we do that, I'm going to have a quick word from the guys at Loot Crate, who are this podcast's sponsor. Loot Crate, it's a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and you get each month 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, licensed apparel, licensed collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. Each month, they have a special theme for the boxes they're sending out. This month's theme is power. So with the onslaught of big summer blockbusters coming, May is the perfect time to celebrate some of pop culture's unstoppable, unrelenting, and unbeatable characters and objects. They've got things for your kitchen, stuff you carry, t-shirts, pins, Marvel items, you know, helping with to tie in with the Captain America Civil War movie just come out, Warcraft, Dragon Ball Z as well, all tying into this month's theme of power. Head across to lootcrate.com/redrock. That's where you go to tell the people at Loot Crate that you came from this podcast and help them keep the sponsorship of this show going. Use the coupon code REDROCK and save $3 off any new subscription. Don't forget, get across, check it out, see what they've got to offer. Subscribe for someone that you know, that you like, that you don't like, whatever. Save $3, go to the website, help the podcast, help yourself. There's lots of great stuff happening over at Loot Crate with their monthly theme of power. All this talk of power, I want to read this Loot Crate read with some sort of a New Day talk. I've got the New Day entrance to their wrestling entrance, if you know what I'm talking about. The New Day is a wrestling tag team, and that entrance that they have when they come in, I just want to read this. I want to do that with that, but I'm not going to do it because I'll embarrass myself. But with all this talk of power, that's what's in my head. So you just an insight into the inner workings of my somewhat odd mind at times. Anyway, let's get back to the box scores. Enough New Day and power talk and Loot Crate, but thanks to the people at Loot Crate for their great sponsorship of the show. The first game from Wednesday, Miami and Toronto, didn't go to overtime. Wasn't as horrible as some of the other games. Still not great, but not horrible. The Heat go down 3-2, heading back to Miami. They're a massive chance to take Game 6 and extend this to Game 7, though. Joshy Richardson had his best game of the playoffs, 13-3-1. He had three triples, he had a steal, he had a block. Wouldn't be trusting it too much. He still only played 22 minutes. But if Luol Deng happens to be out, which we'll talk about later, I think Richardson gets back to close to 30 minutes, and then he definitely becomes a DFS option. But for now, he's just not playing enough minutes to be reliable. Justice Winslow got minutes. He played 33 of them. He went 8-7. And if he's going to be getting 30 minutes or so with Whiteside out, and especially if Deng is out, then at minimum salary, he becomes a tournament option, definitely, because you saw in that perfect lineup that you throw some minimum guys in there, they get you 23 points. That's part of a perfect lineup. And maybe he gets hot and gets five steals. Maybe he grabs 10 boards. And that could really happen for Justice Winslow. So I do like him with his bigger role. Amari Stoudemire started last 3 minutes, did nothing, had one rebound and a steal. Josh McRoberts replaced him in the second half as the starter. Unlikely that Stoudemire is going to play much more, given how poor he's been in these two games. Udonis Haslem played 10 minutes. And Joshua McRoberts went 6-3 in his 18 minutes. Haslem, McRoberts, these are not guys who are going to have much of a DFS impact, I don't think. Wade was good again, 20. 7-4 with another three, just unstoppable from three, apparently, Dwayne Wade. And Goran Dragic went 13-5-2 in his 39 minutes. It's a lot of minutes for Dragic, not much production, unfortunately, for him. 11-8 for Joe Johnson, and Gerald Green played 10 off the bench. For the Raptors, DeRozan, clearly his best game of the playoffs. He was 11 of 22 from the field. He was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. He went 34-4-2, two steals and a three. He even hit a three as well. So don't expect this from DeRozan again, but he was a guy that I thought was a great tournament play because not many people would be on him given he had 9 points in game four. That's a huge performance from DeMar there. Lowry, we've touched on. Bismack Biyombo played 38 minutes. No Valanciunas, and then we had the injury to Damari Carroll as well. So Biyombo, 38 minutes, 10-6 with two steals and four blocks. At the price that he's at, continues to still be a great DFS option. I imagine that his salary is going to jump up, though, with the fact that he's performing the way that he is. So that might keep him out of lineups, but still, he's doing what needs to be done. Corey Joseph is playing well. He's playing a role well. Doesn't translate, but he's doing well. 9-1-5 with two steals. That's not a terrible line from Joseph. Terrence Ross stunk. He had 5 points. And Jason Thompson replaced Bebe Noguera. Noguera played 12 minutes in game four. Thompson played 10 here as the backup center. Neither one is going to have much of an impact. And Normie Powell is nothing at the moment. 3 minutes for Norm with one rebound. Patrick Patterson got 40 minutes with Damari Carroll injured. We don't know if Carroll's going to play in Game 6. If he does, you would imagine there's more minutes for Pat. Normie Powell gets a little bit more playing time. Maybe more T. Ross. Maybe more Corey Joseph. The second game, the Blazers and the Warriors. The Blazers are done. Yeah, big game from Crabbe. Big game from Aminu. Another big game from Aminu. 16-9. McCollum was great. Lillard was great. Mo Harkless was decent. Not much. We don't need to talk too much about them. We'll talk about them more when we do the Blazers season in review podcast. We're not seeing them again this season. So massive, massive performance. They ended up losing 4-1 to the Warriors. But you don't feel like it was a 4-1 series. They were, I feel like, a lot closer in that. And interesting to see what they do in the offseason. For the Warriors, Klay was fantastic. He hit six triples. Steph, after another slow start, erupted 29-5-11 for Steph with five triples. And Draymond went 13-11-6 with two steals, a block, and a three. And you can see the impact of Steph being back. It does cut down what Draymond does production-wise. Livingston back to a bench role. Andy Bogut has a right adductor strain. We don't know how long it's going to keep him out for. He might play in the conference finals. He might not. In game one anyway, if he's out, you think there's going to be more Festus Ezeli, there'll be a bit more Mo Spates, there'll be a little bit of Andy Varejao as well, but none of those guys have been really great fantasy options or anything like that moving forward. So now the Warriors can rest up, hopefully Bogut can rest up, and they await their opponent in the second round, which will come from that matchup between the Spurs and the Thunder, who have game six happening Thursday. That's the day. All right, let's talk about those games now. As I said, I'm going to preview these games. Actually, no, you know what? I'm not going to do that now. I want to talk a couple of things. Steph was named MVP, unanimous MVP. Congratulations to Steph. That's fantastic news, obviously, for him. Well-deserved. No one can make any argument that Steph didn't deserve it. Unanimous, there's some people, Tracy McGrady, talking shit about it. Who cares? He should have been unanimous MVP. He was clearly the best player. He was the best player. Well done. The other bit of news, Dave Yeager has signed in Sacramento, 4 years, $4 million a year. So a big raise on him. He was a $2 million guy in Memphis. It's still Sacramento. So he's still going to have to deal with pettiness isn't the right word. Craziness. Borderline insanity with some front office decisions. Hopefully they can get all that figured out. Yeager and Boogie, hopefully those two can mesh together. I think the Kings, they've got themselves an upgrade at coach, no doubt, and hopefully their system and Yeager can work with this team and get something out of them. So I am looking forward to seeing what he can do in Sacramento. He's got himself a raise. Double the money is fantastic for him and his family. But hopefully he can turn it around for the players on this team and for this franchise and for the fans. And hopefully we don't get any of this meddling and ridiculous front office drama that's been plaguing the Kings for how long? 15 years? It feels like that. If it's not, it's been a while. Now, let's get back to these games and start previewing them. The first game we're going to talk about is the game that is on Thursday, and that is the Sacramento, No, it's not. Oh, the Sacramento Kings wish it was the Sacramento Kings. It's not the Sacramento Kings. It's the San Antonio Spurs. They're headed to Oklahoma City, and they're going to be taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Spurs are favored by 1.5 with a total of 195.5. The Spurs are obviously battling to keep themselves alive after a 67-win season. They're not going to want to go out like this. Massive upset win for the Thunder in Game Five, to take this series by the scruff of the neck and be 3-2 up. Point guards, we've got Tone Parker. He's at 5,000. Yeah, he wasn't fantastic in Game Five. Still put up 24 points. He's averaging 29 across the last three games at 5,000. If that's where you're saving money, which is fine, because small forward is the spot you want to spend up at, and you've even got some high-priced shooting guard options too. Center is another position you have to go cheap at. But Parker at a medium-priced point guard, low-priced point guard, he's the one to go for. Westbrook at 11,100, that salary is pretty expensive. He put up 58 points in Game 5. He's back home. It's a closeout opportunity. I don't hate using him at that price. It depends. I would rather spend the money on, say, Durant and Kawhi than I would necessarily 11,000 on Westbrook. But you might have that cash left over. You could easily have that sort of cash left over. And Westbrook, you almost feel guaranteed to get 50 plus or 51, 52 from him. Maybe not. Maybe you don't get 58. Maybe you don't get 60. But you should get 50 out of Westbrook and feel pretty confident about that. Patty Mills has been a non-factor in this series. At shooting guard, Dan Green at 4,400. He had 31 in the last game. He looked on. I don't mind him at 44. It's probably a little bit expensive to be too reliant upon in a cash game, but in a tournament, I do love it. Manu at 36, he's just a flyer in a tournament, and you hope that he has a big Manu game, but I'm not placing much confidence in him. Whereas I do like Deion Waiters at 3,800. If I'm spending sub 4,000 for a shooting guard, I'm taking Waiters over Ginobili. I think the minutes will be there. I think he's got a real opportunity. He's back at home, and he had a big game in Game 4 at home. I think he's got a big opportunity here, Waiters, to put up a big performance. He's shown that he has improved a lot as a player. He's probably a better player than Andre Robertson at this point, and he should be playing more minutes than Robertson, and that's exactly what Billy Donovan's doing. So I do like Waiters at 38. Not going to be using Robertson, not going to be using Foy, not going to be using Anthony Morrow, in case any of you thought that I might have been. At small forward, we're talking Durant, we're talking Leonard. 10,100 for Durant, 9,500 for Leonard. I guess it depends on how else you're structuring your team. Leonard still is averaging more than Durant over the last five, over the last three. He had 48 to 39. In Game 5 as well. It's always a tough one for who you go here. I feel that Durant's ceiling is higher. I feel that Leonard's floor is higher. I feel like you're probably going to get 38 to 42 out of Leonard most nights, yeah, pretty consistently. Durant might go 50, he might go 33, depending on what happens with Westbrook. So it really depends on how the rest of my lineup's structured. Getting them both in, I think, would be fantastic, because you could easily get 100 points between these two guys. But I think Durant's ceiling's a little bit higher, and that might make him more of a guy to look at in a tournament setup. The other guys at small forward, Kyle Anderson, Josh Huestis, we're not getting any value there. LaMarcus Aldridge at 8,700, put up 39 points in Game 5, which is okay, but he has dropped off the last three, averaging just 34 when he was averaging basically 50 for the first couple of games. At 8,700, there is no other high-priced power forward out there, so it is going to be him at that spot if you're looking to spend up at that position. I would probably be spending Durant, Leonard, Westbrook over Aldridge and feeling more confident in them regaining that value, but you might not be able to fit that in. Serge Ibaka, he's just not playing enough, and he's not doing it stats-wise enough while he's out there. He's at 5,200. He's averaging just 14 points across the last three. He's averaging 18 across the last five. He's a very contrarian play in a tournament, and you might get away with it doing it there, but in a cash game, I don't want to do it. The Thunder have been using the Enes Kanter-Steve Adams combination a lot, and it's been working fantastically, and that's limiting what Ibaka can do. So I don't see him playing 36, 37 minutes. He might play 29 and do not much. That is a concern. Dave West at 3,800 had a stinker in Game 5, only put up 4.7 points. After looking generally okay in Game 4, the Spurs went back to Timmy Duncan. They might do the same again here with Duncan, so I don't like the play of West. Boris Diaw's getting nothing going either, so he's no interest to me. At center, we're talking Enes Kanter, we're talking Steve Adams. Both guys put up 28 points in Game 5. You spend 4,900 for Kanter, you spend 5,200 for Adams. I feel more confident about Adams getting more minutes. At 5,200, I would probably take him because I think I'm going to get 35 minutes out of him. I might get 22 out of Cantor. I might get 29 out of Cantor. I still think we lean more towards that 29 range than 22, and he can go off. Either one is a fine option. I probably feel a bit more confident with Adams, but I definitely think that Cantor has the higher ceiling. So it depends, again, on how you're structuring things and what sort of contest you're playing in. Timmy Duncan at 4,100. Yes, he played 28 minutes in Game 5. That totaled 13 points. He's just not a factor, and I would not be interested in him at 4,100. That is Thursday's game. As I said, these DFS contests are going Thursday, Friday, because this could very well be the last two games of the semi-final round of Round 2. So we're going to talk Toronto and Miami. As of recording this podcast, I don't know if Luol Deng is playing. I don't know if Damari Carroll is playing. We know that Jonas Valanciunas is out, and we're assuming that Hassan Whiteside is out with all this talk we're going to have here. The Heat are favored by 4.5. The total is 190. We're in Miami. Can Toronto get it? They're going to be super pumped. I reckon Toronto is going to have to go all out here because the choking pressure in Game 7 at home will be quite tough. I think that they're a big chance to get this one, Toronto. At point guard, Goran Dragic at 6,500. If I wanted to save up at point guard, I'm not going down to a Dragic. I'm going down further to a Parker. Lowry at 8,200 was great. He's actually put up some decent numbers the last three, averaging 42 points. At 8,200, he's fine. You could go that Westbrook-Lowry combination, but I think probably going cheaper there and getting your Durant, Kawhi, and even LaMarcus Aldridge combo is probably a better way to set things up. Corey Joseph had 22 points today. That's been his best performance in the last five. He's at 3,600. You know the minutes are going to be there in the mid-20s for Joseph. He doesn't translate it into points, though. So if you're really desperate, yeah, you know that he's a backup point guard who is going to get minutes, not like Patty Mills, not like Campaign, not like Randy Foy, not like DeLon Wright or any of these guys, not like Tyler Johnson. Joseph's going to get minutes. So he's a chance at 3,600 if you need to save money at this position. The shooting guards, DeMar DeRozan was great today. He put up 33 points in 34 minutes, he put up 45 points today in his 34 minutes, and at 7,400, that's a great return on what he was able to do. He was a sleeper at that. Now, heading back to Toronto, dealing with an ankle injury, the thumb issue, 7,400, not sure I love it. In fact, I really don't like it. I think it was a great spot for him in Game 5. Not sure I love it here, Game 6. You got Dwayne Wade at 8,300. At home, elimination game. Wade is going to put in a big one. I'm pretty confident. I would love getting Wade into lineups. Terrence Ross at 3,700. He's a tournament punt option, but I would rather take, say, a Deion Waiters over a Terrence Ross at this point. And Joshy Richardson had 20 points at 3,700. If Luol Deng misses, he becomes probably my top punt option of the whole day. If he gets 32, 33 minutes, which he very well could if Deng's out, I think there's a big chance that he puts up 25-plus points. Normie Powell, Gerald Green, you have to have some sort of prognostication powers to put those guys in. Now, small forward, Justice Winslow at 3,500. I really like Winslow if Deng's out. In fact, I don't mind using Winslow at 3,500 if you want to save up money and not use a Durant-Westbrook pairing, a Durant-Leonard pairing. 3,500, he's not going to go crazy. He's not going to give you 30 points. He might give you 20. He might give you 22, and that might be enough. Damari Carroll at 4,800, only had 13 points today, limited by that wrist injury. We don't know if he's going to play. He is a pretty good option if you're going cheap there, but going cheap there to go Damari Carroll is not a great... I don't think it's a great ploy. 5,500 for Joe Johnson. I don't mind him there, averaging 27 points across his last five games, or in the five games of this series. That's okay at 5,500. It's definitely not spectacular. It's definitely not tournament worthy, but it's okay as a cash game play if you're spending up in the other spots. At power forward, it is not, and by not a lot to like here, there's not a lot to like at all. Luol Deng at 6,300. Don't know if he's going to play. Hasn't been providing value at all. Whereas Pat at 3,700 had a nice game. Played 19 minutes here. And if Damari Carroll, he played 40 minutes and had 19 points. If Damari Carroll's out at 3,700, you basically have to go Pat. In fact, your lineup, you almost have to go LaMarcus Aldridge and Pat. They're the two best options out there. You could throw Joshy McRoberts out there. Maybe that works. You might have to go Aldridge or Barker at power forward. There just aren't any good power forward options. At center, we have no Hassan Whiteside, most likely. We have no Jonas Valanciunas. So Bismack Biyombo, he's at 5,500. That doesn't rule out me playing him. Now, he had a big game today defensively, but it only gave you 25 points, which is okay at 5,500, but it's not great. I would rather go take Adams. I would rather take Enes Kanter than Bismack Biyombo at that salary. He's the highest priced out of all those guys. Obviously, we're not really bothering with Amari Stoudemire. I think that that should go without saying. All right, guys, we are done for today's podcast. Congratulations to everybody who has either won their seasonal leagues this season, who has won money in DFS. As always, I love to know these things. Tweet them at me. Hey, I won my league. I won this much money. I've won this contest. People have been doing it all season. Love to hear about it. So tweet at me at redrock_Beeble. Basketball Monster's Twitter account is at BaskMonster. And don't forget, this podcast is not stopping. If this is, in fact, the end of the second round of the playoffs and DFS ends for this season, we'll be going talking more Dynasty League-focused stuff. We'll be talking season reviews. Then we'll head into NBA draft stuff, mock drafts, draft previews, draft reviews, free agency, summer league. It all rolls on with this podcast. It probably won't go every day. It will go every day at the moment while we're doing season reviews, well, basically. But you'll have a fairly steady diet of Red Rock Basketball Monster shows heading forward. Of course, there'll be the announcements for all the listener leagues coming up in the coming months as well, so make sure you're staying tuned to this podcast and to social media for all the different ways that you'll be able to enter those leagues once they get announced. Huddle Paroxysm, great articles always going up over there, great podcasts. Make sure you're checking out all the fine work for the people over there. And congratulations to Scott Rafferty, who is now the editor of Hardwood Paroxysm, with Ian Levy moving up to cover the whole Hardwood Paroxysm network and do some work editing at Fansided NBA as well. So congrats to Ian for the new job and to Scott for becoming my new editor over at Hardwood Paroxysm. We are done. That is it for today's podcast, guys. Congratulations. Good luck. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.